By Deltec Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at Chenal.com.
So, I don't know what to think about that. I just, to cry after a season opener, I mean, did they think they were going to go undefeated maybe? Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. I guess their chances of an undefeated season are now over. Sorry, Kentucky. Bummer.
Since when is crying in men's athletics okay?
I think it's okay in certain scenarios. If I win a national championship or I lose a national championship, I'm totally fine with crying. But to cry after a season
opener?
I mean, come on. Or second, whatever. The first high-profile game, I guess, after they beat the crap out of some nothing team.
And they outscored them in the second half. It's obvious which one of these teams is going to be better come March.
Yeah. When I was on Big Break, the number one thing people told me before I left was, do not cry. And these kids are crying in the fourth game into the season.
I have no problem with you crying after Big Break. That's a lot of money you're leaving out there. That's an opportunity that's blown.
No crying. Because really, do you not want to make fun of every one of those people who cry? It's like, really, don't cry. Don't cry.
You know, there's a chance he's not telling the truth. His lips were moving, so he may have been lying.
That's a good point. Who do you find more irritating? Because there are a lot of coaches that annoy you, like Saban, like Calipari. All the good ones seem to bug you. Bobby Knight. I mean, you got a handful of Bernard Hopkins annoys you. I mean, you got a lot of people in sports that annoy
you. Bernard Hopkins threatened me.
He did not threaten you. That's just his way. He threatens everybody then because he's an intimidating dude and he tries to stare you down.
He was a half inch from my face.
Well, he tries to size you up, Wally, and let's be honest, in our situation, that doesn't take long.
And I was too scared to move.
Well, he's not intimidating. It's all mostly bluster. I'm a guess that you would be the first sports writer he's ever hit if he did it, so I think you're probably safe.
Can you imagine how wealthy I'd have been?
Yeah, you would have been. Okay, so let's get back to reality for a minute.
I'd take a hit for
that. Oh, no doubt.
Heck
no doubt.
Yeah. I just asked him, maybe punch me, on the side or something. I just didn't want to break anything important.
I didn't want him to headbutt me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true, too. Let me ask you this. So who do you detest the most? Who's the most annoying to you? Because to me, Saban is 1,000 times less annoying than Calipari is. I don't like, and it's not just him, it's the whole thing. It's the whole Kentucky thing.
Well, basketball coaches are a little different anyway. Most of them didn't get enough fresh air growing up.
Maybe that's it. It just bugs me, man. I don't know. I don't like the whole concept, and it's not his fault. They manipulate the current system better than anybody.
Oh, absolutely.
I have no problem. I commend them. I am jealous in some ways. I am certainly envious of what they've been able to do. If I could do it, I would do it too. My point is, the system is bad. And it's bothersome. And here's the one thing that does bother me, and I have a good friend, David Wallace, who has worked for years in our industry as well, and he is a devout Kentucky fan. And they talk about these guys being great Kentucky players. I'm like, you are being used as a stepping stone to the NBA, and that's only because they have to have a stepping stone to the NBA, and you're the best option. No argument there. But I don't know how you can look at John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, these other guys, these one-and-dones, as great Kentucky guys – when they've only been there for a season. How can you embrace these people?
But they have to go somewhere, and why wouldn't they go to the best?
I'm not arguing that. My point is, how can you as a fan, if somebody came to Arkansas for a year and used Arkansas as a jumping off point to go to play in the NBA, I'm happy to have them for the year, but I'm also not going to go, man, what a great Razorback that guy was. It was so awesome to have him at Arkansas. And yes, it was nice to have him for a year, and you probably had some success like you normally do with these guys at Kentucky. But I don't know how you look at him in the same way that you look at guys who stayed 2, 3, 4 years.
All they're getting is 12 hours of college.
That's plenty.
You know, most of them don't go the second semester. They drop out.
Don't they have to? It hurts the APR if they don't stay in school through the semester, right? Or is it only through the basketball season?
It hurts if they go out after 1 year anyway. But why do they have one and done? Why not just right out of high school, you can go to the NBA DL?
I agree. Well, and again, we've seen over and over again, and there are certainly stories of guys that don't make it. We have lots of guys who go through 4 years of school and don't make it in football, basketball, baseball, and other sports, too. So my thing is, basketball probably has a much higher rate of coming out early and having success, or at least being able to hang around and get a check. Plus, the opportunities are so much greater than in any other sport, except for maybe baseball. But you can go play in Europe. You can play all over the place. You've got all kinds of leagues in America outside of the NBA,
too. Did you see LeBron's tweet last night?
Yes, I did.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that.
It's a true statement, really. Like you're saying, it's basically the same thing. Like, why aren't they just being drafted right now?
That's a good point. And the GMs are saying, I wish the draft was now. I mean, after
one game, yeah.
You guys follow LeBron James?
It was
on ESPN. Band,
but yes, I do actually. It was retweeted by a couple of people last night.
I don't follow him, but he follows me.
Of course he does.
I'm sure he does.
It shocked me when it came up.
Yeah.
You know.
We should do that someday. Who's your most prized Twitter follower? I had Warren Moons following me. I have no idea why. How does that happen? No clue.
I have a bunch
Charles
of
Charles Ramsey.
Actually, that's the most. You know who I'm most proud to have follow me, Christina?
Probably me.
Wally.
Oh, Wally.
You're top,
second best.
You're top five, though, for sure.
Oh, probably.
He shamed me for a whole show.
I did.
Not a whole show. Until I started following.
See,
I only follow 20
people. The hyperbole.
People.
A whole show is one segment. Bernard Hopkins almost killed me. He didn't even touch you, but he wanted to. This is an overstatement. You can only believe half of what Wally
Poetic
says.
Poetic license.
Look, exactly. Exactly.
In my memoirs, he almost killed me.
You only follow 20 people, but I'm not one of them. Unbelievable.
Here we go.
Wally actually
Here
went.
Here we go.
He
we
went
go.
In the same hospital that Jonathan Martin's been spending time in because of emotional distress after Bernard Hopkins got in his face.
21's a way luckier number than 20, so you might as well, you know, just follow one more.
Mike Krzyzewski was asked last night after their victory. I think they won, right? Didn't Duke beat?
Yes.
Or maybe they lost. No, they lost to Kansas. They lost to Kansas.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
a great
Kansas
game.
Beat. Yes.
Canadian. And that, you got some high-profile guys in that game, too, obviously. Wiggins and whatever the kid's name is at Duke that's a beast. Anyway, he was asked about NBA teams allegedly trying to throw games. So and the other thing is about the NBA, that is the dumbest thing in the world, because almost never does the team with the most lottery balls end up winning the lottery, it seems like. It almost never happens. So to throw games so you can be the worst team in the league seems a little silly to me. I like that the NBA did that. And it's also hard to believe that, you know, we're 5 or 10 games in or whatever it is in the NBA and they're already throwing games.
Yeah, when you have the most lottery balls, that's kind of like going to Tunica and winning a poker tournament and coming home broke.
Somebody listened to the show yesterday. That is still bothersome to me. I mean, honestly.
I got on to him.
Oh, it's just dumb. That's just dumb. Anyway.
Are you talking about RJ?
No, it's just somebody else that works here.
Oh.
Mike Krzyzewski last night talking about... talking about...
I didn't listen to the show yesterday. I'm sorry. I was busy.
I know.
Busy.
I don't know why you would think that. Guys,
he told
about
me.
NBA guys tossing games so they can end up with the best chance in the lottery. I thought his answer was great, and it's like they pointed out on ESPN. That's the guy you want coaching your Olympic team.
Well, I think there are a number of kids tonight who are going to be top-notch NBA players. I don't know. As an American, I would like to think that an American team would never want to lose or create situations where you would want to lose. So I can't even fathom. I can't go there. I mean, I can't believe that would happen. Now, maybe I'm naive and I'm going to go read a fairy tale after this, but you know, if that is happening, shame on whoever it is who's doing it.
Agreed. I think it's too early to even be worried about that. I do want to commend UCA, big win last night. Obviously, they're playing a team that they're supposed to beat, but they won by 50, so that was nice to see. 109-59, all due respect. Hendricks, I'm pulling for you the rest of the way. But it was good to see Coach Finley get a good start to his time at UCA as the head coach as opposed to an assistant coach, and a nice write-up in the paper today by Jeremy Muck as well. And as a guy who spends a lot of time with the coaches up there during basketball season, I'm glad to see that happening. A pretty hefty claim made by an opposing player, Wally. I'm sure you've seen the story. An opposing player claiming that there was a racial slur or series of racial slurs hurled his way, easy for me to say, during a game, in the Florida game. It's a CBSSports.com reporting. Florida center John Harrison, ejected during the game in Gainesville against Arkansas, claims he was the victim of on-field racial taunting. What happened was, one play I got face masked, the next play I got called every version of the N-word known to man. I didn't know there was more than one. And I went up to the ref and I'm like, ref, please, you have to control this player. He's been calling me every racial slur. He said, I talk with my hands and you guys probably have seen this whole time, and I touched the ref in his chest. I didn't poke him, but I was talking like this. He said he was waving his hands. I was honestly just trying to tell the ref that this player, because I was getting about this player because I was getting attacked, I felt like I was getting harassed and it was beyond football. He will not name the player. Will not name the player. Which is, again, these are the kinds of things we try to avoid, because what you do is you now paint every player with that one broad brush that they were the guy. So you can accuse anybody now.
But don't you think he's kind of standing up? And it's kind of obviously we're talking about the Jonathan Martin case, but don't you think he's trying to say, I'm not going to call anyone out, basically step up and tell.
I'm not talking about the Jonathan Martin case at all. I'm talking about when you don't name the player, everybody gets accused. So it's any player.
But what I'm saying is he's not being a tattletale. Like he's kind of boycott or whatever you guys call it in sports, where you're not going to call out one specific person.
My thing is, if you're going to make a claim that is this inflammatory and this offensive and this unacceptable, you got to name names, because otherwise you got guys who maybe looked at it as, well, maybe you did it, maybe you did it. I think you got to name a name. If you're gonna raise the point, you've got to say who it was.
Let me make sure I'm clear. This is the excuse he came up with for touching an official.
Right. It's exactly right.
Were his lips moving?
I don't exactly. It's not John Calipari, remember, though. It's an offensive lineman in Florida. So I don't know who it would have been, but it is I think that's pretty weak.
It was okay for me to touch the referee because I was slandered.
He didn't mean to.
But I'm not going to tell you who did it.
It was an accident. He's saying he was called the N-word on purpose, but he accidentally touched the ref to make his point.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
Just thinking about it. Well, bottom line, there'll be more on this, I'm sure. And I'm curious to see if Coach Bielema will address it today or if he gets asked about it today during his press conference on the SEC teleconference. We're going to talk to Barrett Salee at 12:30. At least Christina is. And we'll try to get a couple words in edgewise, too, and see if he has anything to say about it. I kid. Big news in basketball. Actually, at the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk to a young man who's not going to officially sign until Thursday, but is one of what is expected to be a very good class for Arkansas. Anton Beard will join us at the bottom of this hour. We're going to visit with him about his choice to go to Arkansas. And a lot of people talk, whether it's basketball, Wally, or football, or other sports, who did you beat out to get him? Well, with Anton Beard, it's about as good an example as you could get because you're beating out a whole lot of really good basketball programs to get him on campus.
A lot of people judge the value of a player, who else recruited him.
Well, there's a couple of high-profile SEC schools, including Missouri, LSU, Tennessee, apparently Florida also, that were after him. So it's an awfully good get for Mike Anderson, and he's the kind of guy you want to see that can provide, you know, toughness and has a nice, well-rounded game at the point.
Can he shoot it? They need a shooter so bad.
What about the other night? You weren't impressed by the shooting?
No.
They had a kid go 5 of 6 from beyond the arc.
I know, but I mean, what were the game before that, 3 of 22?
It was an exhibition game, Wally. They weren't focused.
they don't have a pure shooter. And I know they're looking. They're looking hard.
Sure.
Everybody is.
Well, that's not going to be – his role is going to be a beast on defense, I think, and try to, you know, control the game offensively. But we'll see when he gets on campus. He's got another year at North Little Rock this year, which that's a whole nother issue. And I'm not raising a stink about it because it doesn't matter to me. But it is a little weird. I mean, there's a rule with the AAA where if you're at a magnet school, you can switch schools and all that. I guess he was in North Little Rock, maybe district, and went to Parkview last year, and now can go back to North Little Rock. Which, again, my whole thing is when you've got a stud teammate at Parkview and you're playing with him, and now all of a sudden that guy graduates and you got a stud over at North Little Rock, right, and you want to go back and play there, it's bothersome. I think anybody who has a reasonable understanding of anything in the world knows that that's a little weird. But hey, it's within the rules. It's fine. I don't have a problem with that. What bothers me is stuff like kids who are not high profile athletes who switch from a school to school, whether it's private to private, public to public, public to private. I don't really care, and they have to sit out a year. Even if they're not a high-profile kid who's going to play much, or they're not going to a kid who's a high-level Division I athlete.
You don't even get to sit out a year anymore. You have to be there in the seventh grade, unless you move in from, like, at least 30 miles away.
Yeah, I have a friend whose daughter did that, and they had to sit a year. So, again, I want to see kids involved. And there's other places to play outside of your school if you get stuck in that position. But it's I just like to see a little more symmetry or a little more reasonability and a little more logic coming to the forefront on that kind of thing. Razorbacks also announcing the Basketball Performance Center. It is not a practice facility. It's a basketball performance center. There will be an academic facet to this, too. We want to make sure that that's part of the conversation. They're going to unveil it and have a groundbreaking, I guess, on December 7th. There's already a drawing out, and David Basel already complaining about the architecture of the building. A man who doesn't care about basketball, and I don't know if he took any architecture class in college. I know I didn't. Complaining about the structure itself. It's kind of boring, he said. I think it's more important about what goes on in the inside.
It looks like it's symmetrical with the new football facility.
It looks like all the buildings on the University of Arkansas campus. It looks like it has the same somewhat design. It has the same kind of materials used on it. I mean, it's pretty similar to what I see around campus.
Back to the point guard. Is he a true point guard?
Yes.
You know, Nolan Richardson's best teams had a true point guard.
That's what I was talking to somebody. I told this to the guys in the morning. We're going to take an early time out here in just a second. And somebody said, you know, it's hard to play that style of basketball. And he said, no one had some bad sons of guns on his team, and that allowed him to do that effectively. So if you don't have those guys, it's really hard to do what you're trying to do, especially on the defensive end.
I agree. And you got to have a guy to distribute to. You can't have the point guard coming up jacking shots like they did last year. Anytime BJ got it, it was going up.
Yes, I think, well, we talked to Ernie Murray yesterday about that, too. I mean, number one, chemistry better this year. Don't know if they're going to win a lot more games. Don't know if they'll make the NCAA tournament this year, but the chemistry will certainly be better.
They're going to be better.
It's sort of like this station. I mean, sometimes, you know, we get guys that want to work on their own, and, you know, the rest of us are trying to have a team environment. We have guys go rogue. It is what it is.
Name names.
Nope. You can call me Florida offensive lineman. Some guys are on an island here. It is what it is. It's okay. Wally, you're part of the team. Christina, you too. We're happy.